As you know, the liturgy of Holy Mother Church is a great means of sanctification for all. And it is around liturgical prayer, the public prayers of the church, that our entire spiritual life should revolve. In it, in the liturgical life, the life of Christ and the history of his church are presented to us in each of the individual seasons, and we are meant to observe the spirit of each season. For example, during Advent, the 4 weeks of Advent symbolize the 4,000 years in which the prophets awaited the coming of the Messiah. And we're meant to live in that spirit, that is to say, that in preparation for Christmas, we long for the coming of Christ into our hearts, into our souls. At Christmas season, we are to adore the Christ child and imitate the humility of the baby God. During the Epiphany season, when it comes around, we commemorate the adoration of the Magi and bring to Christ the gold of our charity, the frankincense of our prayer, and the myrrh of our penances. During Lent, we are meant to walk with Christ through the desert for 40 days, fasting and doing penance for sin. And now this fifth Sunday of Lent, which we call Passion Sunday, we enter into Passiontide. And if we wish to profit during this season, we must understand what the church is presenting before our minds and what she wants of us during this time. You will notice during these next 2 weeks of Passiontide many different observances and very interesting changes in the liturgical prayers. From Passion Sunday till Easter, the church occupies herself in a very special manner with the consideration of Christ's passion. It is as if the passion of Christ were the only thing that she could think of, and that she wants all of her children to have on their mind during this time. During this sacred season, as you've noticed already, all of the crucifixes, all of the images of the saints are veiled in purple. This is done in order to represent what the gospel of today's Mass says about our Lord. The Jews, who by now are in a rage over this Christ, who proclaims himself to be the Messiah. He had just called them liars and hypocrites and whitened sepulchres. He had raised men from the dead and took away believers from the Pharisees and converted them to Christ himself. And the Pharisees became very angry, and they were in a rage at this time. They could no longer stand the very presence of the Messiah. They wanted him gone. And they came forward in today's gospel scene, and they had every intention to stone our Lord to death on the spot. But it says, "But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." The church brings this event to our mind by hiding from us the images of Christ on the cross. The cloth is violet rather than any other color in order to signify that Christ has put on the garment of penance in order to atone for our sins and to finally reconcile us through his passion with God. And this veiling is also a sign of the church's sorrow over the passion and the sufferings of Jesus. The second change that you'll notice in this liturgical season is that Psalm 42, the prayers at the foot of the altar, the Judica Me, in other words, "Judge me, O God, from the nation that is not holy," that psalm is not said at any Mass during Passiontide that is offered in purple vestments. You see, Psalm 42 refers to the trials and to the sufferings of King David, who represents, who is a type of Christ. But the Church wants us to think now only and primarily of Christ's sufferings, and therefore omits the Psalm of David. Remember that the Psalm of David is one of joy. David empties his heart and says what's going on, how he's being persecuted and is not permitted entrance into the temple. But at the end, he raises himself up to great hope that one day he will again be able to offer his sacrifice in the temple. So there is an element of joy in this psalm. And that is the reason why it is removed from the Masses of Passiontide, because we are left to sorrow over the passion and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in this way that the Church wants us to reflect upon the interior sufferings and struggles of Christ. When our Lord entered the Garden of Olives, he said to his three apostles, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." And then shortly afterwards, at the thought of his coming sufferings, at the thought of his sins, he sweat blood through his very pores. And his sweat, the gospel tells us, became as drops of blood trickling down upon the ground. This was the beginning of the interior anguish which would not leave Christ until his death on the cross. This was just the beginning. And then there was, of course, the treason of Judas, one of his best friends, whom he, up to the last moment, tried to win over to conversion. There was, of course, the threefold denial of St. Peter. Then there was the flight of all the other disciples. They fled our Lord. And it all caused our Savior the greatest pain. Then there was the murderer Barabbas, who is preferred over Christ. When you sit and think of that, as the Church wants us to do, to contemplate these scenes of the Passion, when you sit and think of what an awful scene that was, here is Barabbas, a filthy man, a robber, a murderer, one who takes lives from men. He is preferred to the God who created all things, to the God who keeps all things in existence, to the God that loves to such a point that he is willing to lay down his life for his friends and does, in fact, do that. He is preferred to a God who is reserved in heaven for all of the faithful, a throne in heaven, where we will have the joys of seeing God face to face. And this mob, this Jewish mob, prefers a murderer to God. What a scene. He was mocked then on the cross by his very priests. And so bitter were his interior sufferings that he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He cried out on the cross. And these are, of course, words to remember whenever we're enduring any sort of pain of the heart, the loss of a loved one, or when friends have betrayed us, or when we feel betrayed in any case. But all of this pain that our Lord freely accepted, and it was done out of love for his Father's glory and out of love for our sinful soul. So as we contemplate his interior pains, we should also cultivate the following virtues, that of contrition, sorrow for our sins, because it is sin, our sins, that caused him this pain. As he knelt there in the Garden of Olives, he was not just thinking of sin in general as this vague notion. He was thinking of Father Maguire's sin. He was thinking of your sin, the sin that you had committed 5 minutes ago. He was thinking of very clearly, just as clearly as if it were happening in his presence at this moment, he was thinking of it at that time, and it is what caused him to sweat blood. So there is certainly motive for contrition when we think of our Lord's interior suffering. Then we are to cultivate a patience and resignation to the will of God in all the trials of life. When we think of all the internal struggles of our Lord, how can we not then push ourselves just a little bit more to bear with patience our trials? The third change that you will see in the liturgy of Passiontide is that the prayer, the doxology, the glory be or the Gloria Patri is not said during the introit, nor after the lavabo, nor is it said in different parts of the breviary. This is omitted, this prayer is omitted in order to show the exterior sufferings of Christ. We've talked about the internal sufferings, now the external ones. God is worthy of all honor and all glory. Yet in the Passion, Christ receives from both Jew and Gentile alike nothing but abuse and contempt and hatred. Scarcely had he delivered himself up to his enemies than he was treated as the worst malefactor that anyone could imagine. He was bound with robes. He was spit upon. He received not a moment's rest from the time he was captured on Holy Thursday night all the way till the moment he died on Good Friday. And at the scourging, we hear one of the prophets say, "We have thought of him as it were a leper, and as one struck by God and afflicted." And then all of the pains of the cross and the crucifixion. The church wishes us to reflect upon these sufferings of Christ often these next 2 weeks, and we see him humbled to the lowest depths, and therefore that is why she does not chant the glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. For she wishes us rather to meditate on Christ's sufferings, his humiliations, rather than his glory. St. Teresa of Avila once looked at a crucifix. It was painted all bloody and wounded, and she was filled with such sorrow for sin that she thought she would die. And as she knelt there with many tears, she begged our Lord for but one thing, to never let her commit another sin. And it was from that moment that she received greater graces, which helped her to overcome every obstacle in the spiritual life. From that moment, as she reflected on the passion, the sufferings of our Lord, she resolved to become not only a good Christian, but a great saint in God's garden of souls. That is the effect of contemplating the Passion. And that is what the Holy Mother Church wishes us to do during these 2 weeks, to contemplate the Passion, to imitate the virtues of Christ that he practiced during his Passion. For this is one of the great means of advancing in the love of God. In fact, to conclude, I conclude with this thought. In fact, the reason why God is so little loved is because man is so ungrateful and forgetful of how much God suffered for us. St. Gregory is quoted as saying, "To mankind it has appeared foolish that God should die for us. It seems folly that God should have been willing to die in order to save us miserable slaves. Nevertheless, it is of faith that he has done so. He has loved us and delivered himself up for us. He hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And St. Alphonsus says, how can a soul contemplating Jesus crucified not perceive itself drawn and as it were constrained to love him with all its powers? So let us all, every one of us, during these next 2 weeks, contemplate the Passion and imitate the virtues of our Lord on the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.